Chair. Let me begin by commending the quality of discussion this week, including the excellent expert presentations and the thought-provoking questions from delegates. I am here on behalf of both Project Plowshares, a Canadian Peace and Arms Control Research Institute, and the Canadian Pugwash Group, which is committed to the abolition of weapons of mass destruction and has a long tradition of dialogue across divides. Both of these organizations have long supported efforts to develop formal arms control mechanisms for outer space, and we have enthusiastically sought to support the process to develop principles, rules, and norms of responsible behavior as a concrete contribution to the prevention of an arms race in outer space, or PAROS. The pursuit of this goal requires complementary approaches founded on common interests, and I would like to highlight three points of complementarity that I see coming out of the discussion. The first is norms and arms control. Norms of responsible behavior are central to arms control and conflict prevention. The word taboo has been raised several times this week. Taboos are often at the heart of arms control agreements, including the Chemical Weapons Convention, and inform the continued restraint against the use of nuclear weapons. Taboos and norms are closely related, as both refer to limits on acceptable behavior that must not be crossed. Successful arms control in space demands that such limits are properly identified and agreed upon. Concerning PAROS, we must keep in mind that arms racing is not just about weapons. It is fundamentally a behavior. For this reason, preventing an arms race requires attention not only to weapons capabilities, but also to the behaviors that drive the competitive pursuit of such weapons. Norms can help to mitigate this behavior by building trust and common understanding and interpretation of activities among diverse actors, reducing the opportunity for misperception, and the other drivers that underlie the pursuit of weapons in the first place. Norms can also help to limit potentially harmful activities and promote behaviors that contribute to long-term and mutual security in outer space. An example of this would be a norm against activities that cause space debris through the deliberate destruction of objects in space. Secondly, norms of behavior are tied to capabilities and vice versa. When we talk about behaviors in space, we are very much talking about capabilities and the rules that determine how they are used. Likewise, it is possible to identify capabilities and to regulate them based on their uses and the effects of that use. This is a common approach to arms control. Consider once again the Chemical Weapons Convention, which bans the use of any chemical as a weapon, or the Environmental Modification Convention, which bans the use of capabilities that have widespread, long-lasting, or severe effects on the natural environment. It is thus nonetheless important to recognize that while a behavioral approach involves capabilities, it does not impose restrictions on their development for peaceful uses. The final point of complementarity is norms in international law. Norms of behavior, as well as the shared values that underpin them, are often embedded in the international legal framework. Adopting a common commitment to the application of international law in outer space, including international humanitarian law, is a way to strengthen law while aiding the development of norms, including those related to restrictions on weapons. For example, the application of international humanitarian law to emerging technologies related to artificial intelligence is being used to develop restrictions on the development of autonomous weapons. In articulating many of the shared values and principles that flow from international law this week, the working group has created a strong basis for moving forward with the development of norms. Some of these principles have been mentioned today, including the peaceful use of outer space for the benefit of all, due regard, international consultation, harmful interference, and harmful contamination, and avoiding those, as well as protecting civilians and civilian uses of outer space. Additional progress would be facilitated by defining and developing common approaches to what these principles mean, followed by clear conceptions of what they look like in practice. None of this is possible without the development and implementation of transparency and confidence-building measures. Not only are a lack of transparency and poor communication regarding space activities a core driver of insecurity in outer space, but the ability to develop and nurture norms requires the mechanisms in place to propagate, practice, and promote desired behavior. I think we're going to hear more about these possible capabilities tomorrow, and we've been discussing them at length this week. But approaches such as pre-notification, better registration and disclosure, information exchange, orbital data sharing, consultations, communication, I feel like we know what needs to be done, but we need to put the mechanisms in place. For more detailed information on these points, I urge you to read the recent paper published by UNIDEER that I co-wrote with Almudena Ortega. But above all, in closing, I would beseech you to choose progress over stalemate. If we continue to do nothing on this topic, the outcome is not nothing. The outcome is bad behavior, bad norms, and quite possibly conflict, which none of us want.